Living Theology Friends Letter, The Church, 20. Teachers and the Church, 2. Last week we considered the verb form of the Greek word for teaching. The noun is didaskalos, and is used 58 times in the New Testament. It's variously translated as master, with a capital M, master, little m, and teacher. One aspect of true teachers that we can know with certainty is that they are appointed by God. Teachers are the recipients of the gift of teaching. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, 29, and Ephesians 4, 11. It's often tempting to do so, but aspiring teachers should not be judged as to whether they are charismatic people in an earthly sense. The word charismatic is often used in the world and can be a gift from Satan or purely human manifestation. There will come a time when the church will seek for itself people who teach false doctrine so that they can turn aside to their sinful natures, 2 Timothy 4, 3, 2, 4, and will be the church apostate. Obviously, the two churches previously mentioned in Revelation also had let people come in and teach false doctrines. Thus, this issue of having false teachers in the church is not just a matter for the end times. However, as the final end is approached, the church must be particularly alert for false teachers. God often sent messages to local churches recommending someone who was coming so that the people would know that the person was a true servant of God. Examples are Colossians 4:7, Colossians 4:10, Colossians 4:11, Philemon 10 verse 19, 1 Corinthians 16:10, and Romans 16:1-2. This seems to be the actual scriptural basis for the letters of transfer that are granted when members leave one congregation and join another church. This endorsement should be considered very seriously. The messages also serve as a biblical example of requiring letters of recommendation of people who are not members of the local church, but who come to teach or work in the church on special occasions. There are sufficient warnings in Scripture about the dangers of false teaching and how Christ is opposed to allowing them in the church, that the local church must have some means of screening possible teachers. As stated last week, it certainly seems that the local church should have a minimum requirement of church membership for teachers within that church. Local church membership is also required as a minimum standard for seminary teachers. As also stated above, membership does not guarantee sound teaching, but at least a minimum is set. Above this minimum, the pastor and some deacons' elders who have the gifts of teaching and discernment should examine each proposed teacher concerning his or her beliefs and the subject matter to be taught. Such interviews should be done in great love and tenderness, but also in all vigilance and fear of the Lord. What should the church leaders look for in an interview for a teacher? In other words, why might there be people wanting to teach who are not called by God to teach? An answer to that question is given in Titus 1, verse 11, "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they taught which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." L-U-C-R-E, lucre. The word translated here as is the Greek word translated as lucre, L-U-C-R-E here, is kerdos, K-E-R-D-O-S, which is used in Philippians 1:21 and Philippians 3:7, and translated there as gain. So whatever is gained to a particular person could be the motive for false teaching. Gain could be financial, or it could be for other personal reasons. Some people are only teaching for money, and the church is usually more careful in screening people in this regard than in the psychological realm. Some people need to feel accepted and admired, and this could be their gain. Churches get letters from other churches regarding experiences with a crusade or revival leader, which is biblically sound, as discussed above. The church also usually inquires about the spiritual maturity of the traveling leader and the soundness of his message. But what about the local person who wants to teach, member or non-member? Since pay is usually not offered for such services, the possible kurdos cannot be immediate financial gain. No evidence exists in Scripture that Jezebel was financially rewarded, and it seems that her teaching was that of an apostate. The possibility of apostates wanting to teach in the church provides another possible reason for someone wanting to teach false doctrine. Apostates want to stay within the church to damage it, like those referred to in Revelations 2:14 and Revelation 1:20. Apostates want to destroy the church, Matthew 24:10 and 11, John 6:6-6, Hebrews 3:12, Hebrews 6:1-6, 2 Peter 3:17, and 1 John 2:18-27. It seems that a possible procedure an educational evaluation committee could use for approving teachers can now be developed. The following guidelines are based upon Scripture as discussed above and are areas of concern that must be properly considered before a person is approved as a teacher within the church of Christ. One would be membership. Teacher in the regular educational program of the church must be a member of the local congregation. This is not to exclude outside speakers for special programs. Two, financial motivation. No teacher should be motivated by a love of money. Three, apostasy. The possibility always exists that an aspiring teacher could be an apostate. The doctrine of the teaching must be in harmony with the doctrine of the local church. The motive of the teacher must be to help build up the body of believers. Four, ignorance. Sometimes a Christian has no curdos for wanting to teach. He may be sincerely wrong about some doctrine, 2 Peter 3:16. Teachers must first be taught, so new converts must not be teachers. 5. Psychological curdos. Is a person looking for acceptance, envy, admiration, etc. above what can be classified as normal? Everyone wants to be accepted, loved, and admired to some extent. The committee has to rely on wisdom to ask the proper questions and discernment to know the spirit of the person. Wisdom and discernment are gifts within the church and should be properly used in an interview with all prospective teachers. 6. Women's ministry. A woman is not allowed to exercise spiritual authority over men within the regular program of the church. A strong church will always have strong male leadership and a strong teaching program for women. Prayer, the proper use of spiritual gifts in the interviewing, and a loving attitude will minimize the risk of having Jesus speak to us as he did to the churches in Revelation, and of the committee hurting a Christian who is sincerely called to teach. The possibility of hurting a brother or sister is not sufficient reason to risk the anger of Christ upon the entire church by not having an interview process. Everyone who considers teaching should remember James 3:1, "My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment." God bless you.